Let's pray to the Lord together. Father God, we thank you for the great gift of your word, and we just ask now that you speak to us as we reflect on some of the amazing things Jesus says. Amen. Well, please to sit down. So if somebody was to ask you what is the greatest need in the world today, how would you respond? I know it's a big question on a Sunday morning, but imagine if I asked that, you'd all come out with all sorts of different needs, because let's face it, the world is a needy place. Many of you know that we went to Spring Harvest just after Easter, and during that week we heard many of the needs of the world. And so one of the things that I found fascinating was Mercy Ships. This is a Christian charity. Christians are standing up and taking action where they see need. Has anybody heard of Mercy Ships? It's brilliant, isn't it? It's basically a floating hospital that goes around the developing world, particularly places in Africa, where they have no access to basic surgery, and it performs basic surgical operations. So children with cleft palates, which would get sorted out very quickly in the West, can get treatment. If they don't get treatment, in some of those cultures, they can be stigmatized for life if it's not sorted out. Well, some of the things that I found are quite amazing was what goes wrong tooth and how it can go into a tumor. And we saw some people coming to the hospital ship with tumors this big on their face. But they could be treated. So there we have a need and Christians standing up for that need. But there's many other needs in the world. We could be thinking about the situation in the world at the moment with the tensions between the West and the East, all focusing around Syria. We could think about the needs of refugees. Or again, talking about Spring Harvest, we heard an amazing story of a lady who had escaped from captivity in North Korea. Now, I knew North Korea was bad, but not as bad as that. It is the most repressive regime going, and they basically have concentration camps like Second World War with bodies being piled up if you don't toe the line. But we could go on, there's so many other needs. There's people in the care system, children waiting to be adopted, there's homeless, so many needs. But what we hear from Jesus today in Luke chapter 24 is that even though those needs are important, and James does say that Christians need to stand up and tackle some of these needs, faith without deeds is dead, despite all of those needs, there is an even more important need. And Jesus talks about it in these verses. In these verses we have Jesus, raised from the dead, talking to the disciples. And he explains everything that's been going on, why it has happened. He says, look, my death and my resurrection had to happen. They were prophesied centuries beforehand. And they had to happen. He uses the word must. Doesn't always come across in our English translations. But right the way through, the word is must. The Christ must suffer, be killed and rise on the third day. And why? So that repentance and forgiveness must be preached all nations. For Jesus, the most important need for the world is forgiveness. And this is what we're going to be thinking through. It is the most wonderful thing Jesus can offer us. So why is forgiveness so important? Well, first of all, let's think about the need. Basically, forgiveness is so important because without forgiveness, we remain dead in our sins. We remain dead in our sins, separated from God for all eternity, away from his love. If you were here on Easter Sunday morning, you'll remember how I had Hugh the puppet, Hugh representing human beings, and Hugh decided to go his own way without God. And this is what all human beings do. And if you remember, we had the big crown up here representing God, and Hugh over here, and a great big wall labelled sin came between the two of them. And this is what happens to human beings. All of us have walked away from God. Sin, remember, so long God, I'm in charge, not you. S-I-M. And And that means we are separated from God. We've got nothing to look forward to except death, judgment, and eternity being cut off from the loving presence of God. And the Bible calls that hell. So forgiveness is the most important need. Because without it, well, life is hopeless. We don't have the presence of God in our lives now, and we won't have for all eternity. And the Bible explains how all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we need to move on and ask, well, how then do I receive forgiveness? How do I receive forgiveness? And the thing is, we receive it as a gift. We can't earn forgiveness. Sometimes we think, oh, I've done some things that are wrong. Well, maybe if I do some good things, that will counterbalance. But it doesn't work like that. We need to be forgiven. And we can't work off the debt of our sin. But the good news is, God offers forgiveness to us anyway as a free gift. It is a free gift. Jesus says this is why he came to die, to give us this free gift of forgiveness. Unfortunately, us British people aren't very good at accepting gifts, are we? Because just the other day I saw something, I gave them a gift. They were delighted. And then they said, could I for that? Come on, how much do I owe you? And I was thinking to myself, well, hang on, it wouldn't be a gift then. No, this is a gift. I want you to have this free of charge. But as British people, we're not very good at accepting gifts. And so Jesus says, well, look, what you need to do is accept the kingdom of God like a child. Accept forgiveness like a child. Because when a child gets their gift, they don't say, how much do I owe you? Mum, thank you for that Christmas gift, and can I pay you back? Ever known a child do that? No, they get it and they rip paper and they're delighted. And Jesus says, receive the kingdom of God with that enthusiasm. It's a free gift, the gift of forgiveness. And that is so good, because if we can't earn forgiveness, to just receive it as a free gift is wonderful. And so all we have to do is say, yes, I receive it. And thank you, God, for loving me so much. I am now reconciled to you. No longer am I separated. And I can look forward to eternity with you. It starts now with the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we can enjoy being with God forever. Eternal life. What a wonderful thing. A precious gift. But having said it's a free gift, it's a free gift to us. But it's a costly gift, isn't it? Costly to God. What did it cost God? Jesus, his son. Jesus went to the cross. So going back to that Easter Sunday morning, if you remember, we've got that big box representing sin. And Jesus came and we took a knife and we cut out a big chunk in it and we made a cross out. And there was a tunnel now back to God. Jesus came and died on the cross so we could be forgiven. He paid the cost in our place. Because the cost of sin needs to be paid for. So let's just say that afterwards, Nicholas and I decide to go and play football. We go down Pyford Close and we're playing near Richard Brenders and we're getting a bit enthusiastic and suddenly I kick the ball so hard it smashes straight through Richard and Brenders' door. So they'd be very angry. They come out and then they see it's me and Nicholas. And being wonderful people, they say, it doesn't matter, you're completely forgiven, go. So Nicholas and I get off scot-free. But Richard and Brenda have to pay for the window. The consequences of our actions have to be dealt with and paid for. And that is what happens at the cross. We're freely forgiven. But somebody has to pay the cost. And Jesus paid the cost for our sins so we could be forgiven. And what a cost. If you think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, a few hours before he was crucified, the agony he went through, the anxiety as he thought, I am going to be carrying the wrath of God for all the sins of the world in a few hours. He sweated blood, but he went through it out of love because he knew it was the only way we could be forgiven. For Christ must suffer and die if repentance and forgiveness are going to be preached to all nations. So, it is a free gift, but it's a costly gift to God. Next up, it's a gift the Father desperately wants to share with us, give us. Sometimes I think we think of God as a bit of a grumpy old man. You know, a bit sort of sitting there grumpy, not really wanting to give good gifts to his children. So let's just say, I don't know, let's say sort of David Ives says, "Thank you, God, for loving me." We sometimes picture God going, "Oh, that David. Well, I suppose Jesus did die for him, so I suppose I'd better forgive him." God's not like that at all. God is delighted when any of us, no matter what we've done, come back to him. And the parable of the prodigal son sums it up. We've got the father who has been so betrayed by his son. The son has taken half the family wealth and has squandered it on wild living. He's ended up with the pigs. But when that son comes to his senses, he returns thinking, maybe I can be a servant in my father's household. But the father, from a distance, sees his son, doesn't care about social convention, doesn't care what he looks like in the face of his peers. He lifts up his robes and loses all dignity as he runs to embrace his son. He is desperate to have the son back. And he says, "You are alive again. Let's have a party. We'll kill the fattened calf." This is the reaction of God to us when we accept the gift of forgiveness. He's not a grumpy old man reluctantly giving gifts. He desperately wants us to come into his presence. He desperately wants to forgive us all we've done wrong. I mean, we need to remember that. At a spring harvest, there was one evening when people were invited to stand and commit, give their lives to Jesus, become Christians, and several people stood up. Amazing applause, and we just knew that there was a party going on in heaven, led by God the Father, as he saw people coming back to him. And we sang a song, Spring Harvest. I'll tell you the words of the chorus. "Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God." And I love that phrase, the love of God is reckless. He lifts up his robes and runs to us. And God the Son gives himself up for us because of love. He wants us to be with him. And the song went on talking about the parable of the lost sheep. The 99 are left behind and God goes seeking for the one. The Father desperately wants to embrace us. However, fourthly, forgiveness is a gift that does require change. In the parable of the prodigal son, the son comes back, he's reconciled with the father, and he stays in his father's household, enjoying his father's presence. What he doesn't do is say, "Well, cheers, I've enjoyed the fatted calf, I'm off again with some more money." No, that would be throwing the forgiveness of the Father back in his face. And so true for us, when we come to the Father receiving forgiveness, we need to change. We need to say, "No more will I live this life of sin. I'm going to live under your kingship, in relationship with you, forever. I will change. I will say no to sin and yes to God." Which is why Jesus says, not just forgiveness, but repentance and forgiveness must be preached to all nations. Repentance means turning away from this lifestyle, this negative lifestyle that leads to death, and turning to God. So we need to change. We now live transformed lives, but the Holy Spirit will come and help us do that. So there we have forgiveness, the most important need for this world. So the response? Well, first of all, personally, we need to receive it. We need to be like the child who receives that present and rips off the paper with enthusiasm. It's our greatest need. Without forgiveness, we are dead. Dead spiritually now, and then dead physically for eternity. But with forgiveness, we have life, beginning now, and then after death, we will be resurrected to live with Jesus forever, where there's no pain or suffering. So receive the gift of forgiveness. Maybe there's somebody here who's never done that. Well, Jesus would be saying today, I died for you. Receive the gift. It's a good gift. What's stopping you? Receive it and enjoy life fully with God now and forevermore. And then we need to preach it. We need to share this good news, because it's not only our greatest need, but the greatest need for the whole world, the greatest need for our village of Elmswell, the greatest need for our neighbours. We need to share this news, and if we're shy, well, at least just invite them to church so they can hear this good news. Jesus says, repentance and forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, to everybody. Otherwise, why did Jesus die on the cross? Jesus wants people in heaven with him. So we need to preach it. Share the good news. And finally, and perhaps most difficult of all, we need to practice it. We forgive as we have been forgiven. Matthew 18, Jesus tells that story, the parable of the unmerciful servant. Do you remember the king? Has this servant come in? The servant owes a humongous debt. He cannot pay it off. Have mercy on me. And the king says, I will forgive you the debt. Wipe the slate clean. What does he do, this horrible servant? He goes out, finds somebody who owes him a relatively small amount, and starts to choke him. Pay back what you owe me. And the king is furious and says, bring that first servant in. He goes to prison. If we have been forgiven, we need to forgive others. And I just wonder, is there somebody who you are not forgiving in your life? Well, just think what Jesus did. When we were his enemies, he died on a cross so we could be forgiven. We need to forgive others. Maybe just take a moment and think, is there somebody in my life I need to forgive? Because the wrong they've done to us is very small in comparison to the wrong we have done God, and he has forgiven us. Only those who have forgiveness. So let's come now and pray that we receive the mercy of God, his forgiveness, we preach it, and then we practice it. Father God, we thank you for your great love. You so desperately want a people to be yours that you sent your Son, and he willingly gave up his life for us on the cross to pay off our sin, to bear the wrath of God for all that we've done wrong. And we thank you, Lord, that this free gift of forgiveness is on offer. So we just ask you, Lord, help us to receive that gift. If there's anyone here, help them now just to say, Father, I receive your gift of forgiveness, and I will live with you for eternity. Help us to share this great gift with others. Give us the boldness to tell them about it, or to invite them here so they can hear about it. It's the greatest need of humankind. And having been forgiven, Lord, give us the grace, the power to practice it. Help us to say, I forgive that person who has offended me. We ask this in Jesus' name.